Okay, here we go.
There we go.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Saskanjejo.
Hey, that's a better theme. We should use that one.
We really should come up with some music.
I have come up with music. What are you talking about?
Although I listened to a few podcasts the other week, and the podcasts themselves were brilliant, but the music at the beginning was like, they picked it from those free music things, and it was just like, oh God, it's so awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that where I was, there was music from like one of those free sites on a commercial, TV commercial here in New Zealand, and then I was back in Canada and it was being used for a different commercial there. And it was like for farm equipment here, and then like asthma relief or something. It was so out of context. It was kind of awesome.
But here we are.
Here we are.
It's not been a year since the last one.
No, it hasn't. It's you know, relatively short amount of time, which is good for us.
I think we are trying to come up with topics is when you get them, it's like, oh yeah, but it's the actual what we're going to do. Oh my God, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, and as we discovered this morning, as we were having a cup of coffee, getting ready to have our chat, we have to be careful not to actually start chatting about the chat.
Yeah.
Because there's good stuff there, I think.
It's all there. So I thought we would talk about photography in a kind of where it's come from, how it's changed, the rise of social media and everyone becoming a photographer, whether that, you know, is that a good thing or a bad thing, cameras on phones, cameras in general, and just a little bit of insight into your views around it.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I mean, photography has certainly changed a lot.
Yeah. So you went, talk us through your history.
Oh, my history. Well, if we look back in time. I trained as a photographer. I went to art school back in the olden days.
Yeah.
So I went to art school and sort of majored in photography, or just did photography at art school. And I graduated in 1999.
Whoa.
Yes. A long time ago. And it was a really interesting time to study photography, because it was the very end of the film era and the very, very early beginnings of digital photography. We spent so much time working with film, both color and black and white, and developing film and all that sort of stuff. And there was one afternoon at the very end where we went and did this new thing called Photoshop.
Whoa.
So we did Photoshop for the grand total of 2 hours in my entire photography program. And it was so new that none of the teachers knew how to teach it. There was one of the students taught the afternoon of Photoshop. And we all tried it out and we went, this is stupid. We're never going to use this.
Yeah.
And then they showed us this really rudimentary digital camera that was brand new, and it was horrible and a terrible resolution. We're like, film will never be replaced. We'll never use Photoshop for anything. I have maybe never been more wrong in my life.
Yeah, there you go.
Things have changed a lot.
Because I still must teach. Do you still learn about using film in at university or college?
I think so. I think at least to some extent.
Yeah,
I think they do. A lot of photography programs still start people out on black and white film photography, which I think is great.
Yeah,
because it's those fundamentals that everything else is built upon.
Yeah,
you know, all these techniques that we used to do in the dark room and with different types of film are now the same names as Instagram filters.
Yeah,
so people are like, what does X Pro 2 mean? It's like, well, that's cross processing, which we used to do with film. So, you know, it all has to come from somewhere. But yeah, it's I don't know. I think, you know, you can no longer get film developed in the South Island in New Zealand. You have to send it all up to North Island to one place.
Whoa.
And that's changed just in the past few years.
And I was listening to, my friend did a pod, the reason why I was thinking about photography was I listened to a podcast about photography yesterday, and she talked about, and it really, and it, I totally agree with her. The whole thing about putting your film in and not knowing what's coming out was so exciting.
Yeah.
It used to take a week, and you'd snap your photographs, you go out on a night out, or you'd go around, you were like, I don't know what is on these 30 photographs.
Totally.
You'd put them in, you'd pull them out, you'd get them back. 90% of them were blurred and awful and had all the stickers on about what you'd done wrong.
Yeah, yeah. You get your picture that you thought was going to be the best had the little sticker on it that said, we've given you this one for free.
But it was awesome because you'd sneak back to your bedroom and you'd look through them before anyone could look at them.
Totally.
And you'd get rid of the ones that you didn't want anyone to see.
Yeah.
And you'd keep the ones that you wanted. And now everybody sees everything.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there was different emotions with photography then. Like there was this excitement, you know, it's like opening Christmas presents, Christmas morning sort of stuff when you get film back. But there was also terror. I can remember, as a photographer, I've taken pictures at like maybe 3 weddings ever because that's just not my thing.
Yep.
And I remember the first wedding that I photographed was with film. So you go out and photograph the entire wedding on film. And at the end of the day, you'd have this, you know, little Ziploc bag filled with rolls of film. And you're just hoping beyond hope that things are in focus and people's eyes are open and they're smiling because it's their wedding day. It's never happening again. And just you'd go to sleep that night going, God, I hope I didn't fuck that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that terror is now gone.
Yeah.
With digital photography.
Yeah.
It's like you look at the back of the camera, oh, they're smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy days.
So what was your first camera? Can you remember?
My first camera. My very, very, very first camera when I was a kid, my dad won in a raffle a Kodak disc camera, which is so old that people may not even know what that is. But it was like this little tiny, tiny camera with these little super small quarter-sized negatives that were really, really tiny. So it was a horrible little thing. But that got me into photography a bit. Then when I was late in high school, I think, or maybe early uni, I did outdoor education. And when I was in that, I thought, right, I want to be like a ski photographer. So I bought myself an SLR film camera. So like a Canon Rebel, like the sort of the cheapest SLR you could get with a couple lenses. And that sort of started me off there, sort of muddling my way through photography with that. How about you? What was your first camera?
I had this brick-like click point and shoot.
Yeah.
That used to, as the years went on and the older it got, you'd press it and it'd go, until at one point my friend was like, I think you need a new camera.
Yeah.
But I was never really, my dad had a huge Canon that he used to get out. I can't even remember seeing any, I don't even think he got anything developed. He just used to pretend that he was taking
out the cool. Program. Well, they look cool.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if he still got it. He probably got rid of it. But was never really, interested in just taking photos of grass with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then was never really interested. And then my sister's ex-boyfriend was a photographer, proper, went to art school, same thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful photographer, lots of landscapes, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is a really interesting, but then it kind of never really crossed my path again.
Yeah.
Till the rise of phones.
Yeah.
And starting a blog, knowing, and just messing around. And I would never consider myself to be a photographer because I don't know the technicalities and still trying to learn that stuff.
Yeah.
But just the joy of being able to pick up a phone and take a photograph of something I've seen on the street, and mess about with filters and stuff like that, I think is a really lovely way as an entrance into finding out what it is you like.
Totally. And I think, you know, there's a lot of photographers that I think probably the best word to describe how well they feel about modern photography is a bit bitter.
Yeah.
Especially sort of old school photographers who learned on film and learned a craft, because back in the day it really was a craft. You know, there was nothing was automated, and even just to take photos to translate what you're seeing into a photograph was a real challenge. There was technical challenges involved there, and you know, actually manipulating this equipment. Where now a lot of those steps to get to, you know, what's in your head to what's in the photo, have been jumped for you with phones and computers and stuff like that. So I think there's some photographers who feel a bit hard done by that the kids today have it so easy.
Yeah.
But I don't subscribe to that at all. I think, you know, we're in this golden age of photography where people can be creative, like really easily creative, which is great. I think, you know, that's what I love about photography is the accessibility to creativity. You know, I got into photography because I can't draw.
Yeah.
And it's like, if that wasn't an option for me, I would have these artistic ideas, but with no outlet.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people who would never have kind of, I think, I don't want to say those people, but who creatively didn't have music or they didn't do art or but they've found this thing that they can do that's like, oh my God, it's totally accepted.
Yeah.
And it's just a way that I can see the world and show people, whether you like what they take or not.
Yeah.
For me, it's like art. It's like you stand in front of a piece of art in a gallery and it might be worth $1 million or a dollar. If you like it, you mm-hmm. like it.
Yeah.
That's just your opinion.
Yeah, totally. And it's, you know, we live in this very interesting world now where there's this incredible flat hierarchy between creators and consumers of art where, it, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago even, if, you know, creating a piece of music, creating a photograph was left to people who did that as their profession.
Yeah.
Where now, you know, if you've got a smartphone and a laptop, you can do all those things yourself. Yeah. And now everyone, to some extent, considers themselves a photographer because we're always taking photos all the time.
Yeah.
And has that made photography better? I don't know. Do people appreciate photography more? I don't know.
So if I said to you, who is allowed to say they're a photographer? Do you have an opinion on that?
It's an interesting question. I think anyone can call themselves a photographer. I called myself a photographer before I was ever a professional photographer, before I ever went to art school. Because I really love to do it, and it's how I defined my art. I think, you know, there's more and more photographers now.
Yeah.
And there's fewer and fewer professional photographers because it's impossible to make money as a professional photographer.
Yeah.
You know, before, if you wanted to have a picture taken of yourself for an advertisement or, you know, you're selling some arts and crafts, you had to hire a professional to come and do it because they had the stuff to do it. Well, now it's like, well, just grab your smartphone, get a friend to do it.
Yeah.
So that whole side of professional photography just doesn't exist anymore. So I think these people who are doing, or people that are doing any type of photography have every right to call themselves a photographer.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I think people like, so Trey Ratcliffe, for example, whether you like his photographs or not, he's so humble about and always says to people, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
You know, he learned very late. He picked up a camera in his 30s, mm-hmm. but he's like, it's just a camera. Anyone can do that stuff.
Totally.
Don't let that stop you from picking up something and liking something and going off and doing it.
Exactly. You know, like when, if you think of a little kid, say, learning to play the piano, and the little kid sits down and starts playing the piano, and mom and dad says, you know what? You're never going to be a concert pianist. I think you should stop playing the piano. That's ridiculous. Yeah. No one would ever say that.
Yeah.
And photography is the same thing. It's like, if it makes you happy and you get to share images with your friends or don't even share them with your friends, you know, share them, you know, take things that make you happy, then that's fine.
Yeah.
And there's so many different types of photography, you know, whether it's really simple classic ideas or really cutting edge, you know, ever evolving things. You know, you look at the photography that people like Trey is doing, which is HDR photography, which is, you know, using technology to make hyper realistic photos, or you look at the, you know, amazing astrophotography that guys like Jordan McKinley, who's a Queen Cell photographer, is doing. I mean, that stuff is amazing and wouldn't be possible just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, people like that are pushing photography in all sorts of really exciting and interesting ways.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So if we think about stuff, particularly around social media, is there anything you that kind of is like nails down a chalkboard for you?
As far as photography and social media, I hope we're getting to a post selfie world. I think everyone has enough photos of themselves. I think, you know, things go in trends, and a lot of it's to do with technology. Like for a while, when GoPro cameras first came out, everything was point of view, and it was just GoPro everything. And then when drones came out, it was all drone photography, drone video. And I think that just sort of goes with technology. Yeah, there's nothing really bugs me.
Not the Wanaka tree.
Oh, the Wanaka tree. Yeah. I'd like to
cut it down.
Yes. Yeah, so, I'd like to talk to our Wanaka listeners at the moment. You guys are home to a tree that everyone takes a photo of, and you need to stop. You need to move on.
I love it.
Yeah. What about you, Jane? What bugs you beyond the Wanaka tree?
I am annoyed. I'm over Flatlay.
Flatlay?
So Flatlay is the very Instagram thing of shooting down onto something where things have all been set out on the
floor. Oh, yeah, like the taste thing.
So that there's either lots of food or there's all the things you're going to pack in your suitcase.
Yeah, people organizing shit. Like, come on.
just boring. But for me, not for the people who are doing it. That's your total thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big into, so is it slow shutter speed stuff?
Yeah.
It's too dreamy for me.
Yeah.
It makes me feel
You need
bit,
the hard, yeah. hard edge of reality yeah. in your photography.
But yeah, not too much stuff. I think it's just, you see so much same stuff. And I think being, because I'm on social media so much, last year I just got so bored with myself and with other people. I've not seen anything new. Yeah. Like there was nothing new out there.
Did you, I heard this recently. Maybe you told me actually that the most photographed thing in New Zealand is a Ferg burger. That's on Instagram.
Oh my, I didn't know that. Yeah. I know the most photographed building in New Zealand is Dunedin Railway Station,
really?
Which is stunningly beautiful.
It is pretty stunning. People in Dunedin are probably thinking along the same lines as the Wanaka tree. Yeah. Like, oh, not again.
Like, I can't stand that thing. But I think the amazing thing with Instagram is, and you can go down that rabbit hole where you start. I often sit and I'll give myself some time because otherwise I'm there for like 6 hours. Mm-hmm. Of going into, say I like some kind of artist, say I like some gallery, I'll go in and look at who they like. And yep. you find these amazing people who've got 20 followers.
Yeah.
And most of them are their grandparents or
yeah,
their
yeah,
mum.
Yeah, yeah.
But these amazingly creative people who've yeah. either got, they've done drawings or they've, there's a lady who makes, there's always a drawing of a woman either dancing or sitting, and she creates dresses out of food.
Oh, wow.
And they're beautiful pictures.
Yeah.
Like flowing dresses, but they've all been made out of pasta or peas.
Yeah.
But they're so amazing. You're like, I would never find these people unless I sat and yeah. kind of dug away.
And I think the thing that I love, that's really, I love it about Instagram and stuff and creators at the moment are people who are doing things that are really different and doing stuff different, not just different artistically, but using the platform in a different way.
Yeah.
Like there's... I've seen a couple artists where you go to their Instagram page and the layout of 9 cubes of images are all curated.
Oh, yeah.
Where they all connect together.
Yeah.
I saw recently where a friend of mine posted a thing on Instagram where now you can post multiple photos where in those 3 photos in a row where you swipe to the right or whatever. They were all, there's like a triptych of a panoramic image.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was as if you were scanning across. And it, to me, that stuff's really clever.
Yeah.
It's not just like, okay, it's a pretty sunset, whatever, but you know, using the platform in a new way.
Yeah.
And I think to me, that's where the future of social media photography is going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is pushing what the platforms can do.
Absolutely. And I think even it's, showing the world in the way that you see it. So even if it is that Wanaka tree,
yep.
somebody looks at it in a way that's like a completely different way.
Yeah.
Not really trying hard to think about how can I do this in a different way, but this is just the way I see that
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And it could be a cardboard box on the side of the street,
yeah.
but they've seen it and it reminds them of something or it's,
yeah.
you know.
It's like a friend of mine who's a photographer, professional photographer, he shoots photos for like Sports Illustrated and big magazines like that. And his Instagram feed for a long time was him just faking Bigfoot photos. So he had a little sort of figure, like an action figure of Bigfoot, and he'd take it with him all over the world in all these different places, and he'd shoot slightly out of focus pictures of Bigfoot, you know, walking through the underbrush.
Brilliant.
And it's great, you know, and it's like, it's, you know, this, it's, I think a lot of photographers, especially professional photographers and professional artists, there's this weird expectation with their social media that it better be awesome because they're, you know, they're creative in this way.
It's yeah.
Like, but the great thing with things like Instagram is you can do whatever you want with
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be
no.
the thing you do.
No. I follow a guy called, and he's got a lot of followers, but Momo's Face, and mm-hmm. it's his dog. And he takes a photograph down of his dog's face every day.
Yeah.
And it always somewhere else. So his dog could be putting his head through a piece of wood, or he's in a grassy meadow or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just this most beautiful capture of this thing that he absolutely adores. He
yeah.
completely is in love with his dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read an article about it, and he says, you don't know how long it takes me to get that bloody dog to sit still.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
dog's like, today, I ain't doing this for you. I ain't your model. You ain't paying me no money for this.
A photographer that we both know, a Queenstown photographer, is actually, I'm not going to
out his
project, but this photographer is planning, which now he's actually going to be forced to do it because I'm going to tell the entire world about it, is recreating iconic album covers with dogs.
That's awesome.
So like a pug with, you know, the David Bowie lightning bolt across his
face. I love how you just, I had this image, you were like, he's recreating album covers, and I had this, oh yeah, yeah, and then you're like, with dogs.
It's going to be amazing. I mean, when he first told me about it, I'll be honest, I'd had a couple glasses of wine, so I was pretty enthusiastic about it. Maybe more than he was, but we'll see.
Oh my God.
I'll give him a call afterwards and warn him.
I love it. Yeah. So if you're, say you're on a job, what kind of jobs do you kind of do nowadays then?
Photography-wise?
Yeah, so if someone says, I need a photographer, what are you generally getting?
From me? Or
yeah, yeah. So what's the most... than usual emails you'll get for people asking you for work.
Right, right. I get all sorts of things. These days, I think, you know, photographers in places like Queenstown, I think most of us are a bit of a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
There's a lot of photographers here that are sort of wedding and portrait photographers. So if people email me and ask about those things, I generally say you don't actually want to hire me for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's photographers here that are literally world class.
Yeah.
And amazing work. Most of the photography I do is editorial stuff around sports and travel.
Yeah.
Adventure tourism and stuff like that. So mountain biking and skiing and that sort of thing. And because some of the other stuff I do is writing. Oftentimes I'll be writing travel or adventurous articles and providing the photos for that as well. And that can be, you know, when we start talking about travel, that can be anything. So it's, you know, I wrote a article about getting a tattoo done in New Zealand, in Queenstown. So I was like taking photos in a tattoo shop for a couple days and stuff like that. So it's really all over the map. But sort of where I've kind of come full circle with photography, because I started out in action sport, in skiing and stuff like that. And I've kind of come back around to that, where that's when I'm shooting photos, that's the most thing I do.
Yeah. And if you, so say somebody said to you, right, you've got half an hour, you need to meet us in town, we're going to do a shoot of around Queenstown.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your, in your bag?
Oh, well, I kind of over-prepare for everything.
Your iPhone 5.
You pretty much. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I just have like a Pelican case that just has, you know, I shoot it in a Canon 6D and a couple, three or four lenses and that. I don't really use a flash very much because it just takes too long to set up and it's kind of annoying for people. And that's about it. A tripod, monopod.
Yeah.
I'm pretty minimalist when it comes to that sort of stuff, because that, with that stuff, I can do almost anything I need to, and I can flip a switch and do video on the same equipment. So,
do you have anywhere you like? Do you still go out and take photographs around here?
Yeah.
Is there a little secret? What's Scott's favorite place to go to?
Well, I think the most underrated place to take photographs in Queenstown is Queenstown Gardens.
Ah, completely.
It's right in the middle of everything. There's so many.
I think it's underrated anywhere.
Yeah, totally. It's a stunning place. It's it has all these advantages, even for things like portraiture. It's the best portraiture place you'll ever go because it has all these textures and there's space. You know, it's not just in the woods. You can get out in the open areas. There's lots of light. There's flowers. There's different colors and textures. It's amazing. And
yep.
It's quiet.
Yeah.
And there's nobody there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Anything that you'd like to get better at?
Better at?
That you really maybe struggle with?
I think, you know, I have so much respect for portrait photographers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting, you know,
that's
right.
I was going to say that's mine. Like getting people's faces.
Yeah.
So hard. I find it so hard.
Yeah. Have you watched that Netflix show, Abstract?
Not all of it.
There's a photography. Have you seen the photography?
No.
It's pretty amazing. It's very amazing. And listeners, if you haven't heard or seen that show yet, highly recommend it. I think it's a 6-episode series about different artists of all different genres, car designers, interior designers, yeah, photographers, stage designers. And the photography one especially is really special. And it's a portrait photographer. And it's talking about how he gets right into people's faces, you know, presidents and all sorts of people. So that's one thing I'd love to get better at.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard though. It's a real knack for people who are good at that.
Yeah.
You know, and they connect with people in a special way that comes across through the,
yeah,
through the,
yeah,
photographs. Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm.
I could never do weddings.
No.
Oh God.
No, it's
too stressful.
It is stressful.
Too exhausting.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's a challenge to make it look fresh and exciting. And you also have this real challenge of the people you're photographing are really, really nervous, yeah, or really, really, you know, this emotional range. And you've got a very short amount of time to take photographs that are going to last the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have full respect for that.
Yeah.
What is your favorite type of photography?
To look at.
Or to take?
I like doing... I got really into macro last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a... And that was totally on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I got one of those little clip-on things.
Oh, yeah, the little lens thing.
And I got obsessed with crawling around in the garden.
Yeah.
And you talked to... I think I talked to you about this and you were like, oh, yeah, we've all been through the crawling around in the garden phase.
Totally.
Where you notice bugs and inside of flowers,
yeah,
are just unbelievably amazing. Yeah. And I got really obsessed with doing it.
I think, you know... Macro photography is great because it forces you to slow down.
Yeah.
It like you really start to really, really look. And there's a video project I'm working on at the moment that'll kind of keep under wraps a bit, but it's all about the small details,
yeah,
of things, and it's all about slowing down and seeing the abstract in that macro world.
You've got a lot of secret projects on or that you know about. Your brain must be full.
It is. It's overflowing.
What am I allowed to talk about? Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing. But
best not saying anything.
Yeah, it's best not to say anything because if it doesn't eventuate or something like that, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's sort of embarrassing. Kind
the,
of.
The and the thing that I really got into, whether you edit massive post process or not, I absolutely love editing photographs.
Really.
Because it's part of the job,
yeah,
in inverted commas,
yeah,
but the whole thing of it's that whole mindfulness thing that, uh-huh, I really love of you're completely into something that nothing else is going on except, mm-hmm, that thing in front of you,
yeah,
and moving a little dial up and down.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, oh God, I've got 3 hours of editing photographs. Mm. But sometimes it's like, oh my God, I'm so totally involved in this moment,
yeah,
and everything else is gone and there's no computer on and phone and,
yeah,
and you're really involved in that picture.
So when you take a photograph, do you envision in your head the photograph, the end result before you take it? Or when you're editing and all that, does something new emerge?
I think that's after. For me, I see something. Whether it's a standard, this is a sunset shot,
mm-hmm,
that's just nice and people are going to like, and I'm not that interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll see something random on the street. Mm-hmm. I just see it and want to get it down.
Yeah.
And then go home and go, oh, look all this crazy stuff I can do with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whether I do anything with it after that or not,
yeah,
it's just, I think for me, it's after.
Yeah. I did a project probably 4 or 5 years ago now, that I recommend to everyone to do, and it was a photo of the day project. For a year, I took a photo and posted it online, which this was like pre-smartphone times. It was, you know, post-digital photography, so I had a digital camera, but it was like, take a picture, put the card into the computer, and download it into Photoshop, and blah, 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 and upload it into my blog. So it was one photo a day for 365 days.
Yeah.
And that really changed the way I looked at the world around me, because it would be 6 o'clock at night and the sun starting to go down. It's like, shit, I've got to take a picture. What can I take a picture of? And sometimes it was really obvious, and sometimes it was easy, and sometimes it was like, right, well, what's in the garden?
Yeah.
What's on the kitchen table?
Yeah.
And that it just, all of a sudden there was images everywhere, and I was already, you know, I was already a professional photographer at that point.
So. And have you looked back at it and gone, oh my God, that lasagna, I took a photograph, I remember that day.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I was actually recently looking back on those images, and yeah, I can remember every single day.
That's awesome.
Every single photograph. So it's an amazing thing to do. Yeah. And, I was also part of another group project similar to that, where a bunch of us did a photograph a week on a different topic. So on a Monday, you'd be given a theme, and the theme might be something really specific, like, you know, trees or sunset, or it might be something really broad, like, you know, orange or happiness. And you're given this topic on Monday, and on Sunday night, you uploaded your photo to a Flickr page.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, there's what, 10 of us in this group. We put on a group exhibition of all the images, and they're all grouped together by weeks, not by artists.
Really cool.
So just to see, you know, 10 people's different interpretation of what, you know, orange looks like, or happiness, or stillness was.
We should do that again.
It was very cool. It was
very cool.
Yeah. It was fun to see people's different interpretation of things.
So I have a group called Snappers, mm-hmm. which is basically people who like to drink coffee. It's just an excuse to get up early and go and drink coffee together.
Yeah.
But it's got some amazing photographers in there, and we generally meet. It's slowed down so much. We used to do it every week, and it just got too much.
Yeah.
But we'd I'd text them a few days before, and we'd meet somewhere at a random time in town, and we'd just take a picture of what we saw in front of us. So we stood in the middle of the roundabout in the middle of town at 6 o'clock in the morning once, and I said, cool. just shoot whatever you think is around here.
Yeah.
But one of them was, I text them and said, go outside of your, wherever you are now, and find the first door you come to and take a photograph out of that door, and send it. And it was so incredible, because I got, people were in like random people's houses. So you got the garden, you got an office kitchen, you got a dog somewhere, and someone was in a supermarket, so they went out the front of the supermarket, and it was so cool to just do. So I love doing little things like that, and seeing Queenstown. You know, you say you're at Bob's Cove, and you generally might get the same picture of Bob's Cove. It's like, you're in Bob's Cove, but show me what else is in Bob's Cove, or what do you think about when you're in Bob's Cove?
Yeah, and I think that's for those of us who are lucky to live in Queenstown, you know, which is a really aesthetic and beautiful place, is seeing the other side to that, you know, not the ugly side to it, but, you know, if everybody's taking a picture this way, well, what does that way look like?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's behind people? Yeah. What do we underappreciate? Yeah. You know, and it's not just taking pictures of, you know, rubbish in a gutter somewhere. It's like, well, what's the view looking back the other way?
Yeah.
What does Queenstown look like from the lake?
Yeah.
As opposed to the lake from Queenstown.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a project that I'm still yet to complete, but it's been
you got a lot going on.
I got a lot going on, but it's one that I think would be really exciting, where I wanted to take a picture of people at work in Queenstown, and it was over the course of the day, and it was going to be 24 different people doing 24 different jobs, because Queenstown's a 24-hour place.
Yeah.
So at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's someone mopping up a floor in a pub somewhere, and you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, there's a lonely night auditor at a hotel, and it's going to be portraits of 24 people over 24 hours, and I wanted to take it in one day, so one long day of photography.
You get some coffee down you to
do
that.
Yeah, and I think that's always the thing that's kind of slowed me down or stalled me from doing it is actually getting the gumption to be like, right, I'm going to stay up for 24 hours and be creative for 24 hours straight, which is kind of daunting.
Yeah.
But someday.
I love it. Got a lot going on.
I know. So what do you think the future of photography is going to be like, Jane? What's going to happen to Instagram? And
who knows? I reckon it will be replaced by something else eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. I think things will come and go as they always do.
Yeah.
And people will just find ways of, you know, being creative on that new platform and doing some things with it. And some things will be good and some things will be awful and some things will be, oh my God, how did you just create this thing out of this thing?
Yeah.
And I just think it'll change all the time so fast.
I agree. I think it's all going to keep evolving. And I think if you think about it, something like Instagram is actually a really traditional idea. It's just people taking photographs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the logical jumps from that is things like Snapchat, which is, it has this whole, you know, perishable aspect to it, and you know, augmented reality stuff going on. And it's like, well, that's potentially where things are going to go, is further and further away from the traditional.
Yeah.
I think we'll always have a hand or a foot in traditional, but
oh, totally. And I think things like Snapchat have moved from people taking photographs of their penis to people being, I'm like, how did you do that on this thing that's so simple?
Yeah,
but you've created, some people's brains are amazing.
Yeah,
and they've created something out of, you know, a little tiny 5-second video. They've done something. You've gone, whoa, amazing.
I do worry sometimes though at the rapid rate of evolution of all these things, because like Vine is gone now.
Yeah.
And there was people that put a lot of time and effort into Vine.
Yeah.
And it's just, not only is the platform gone, all of their stuff is gone.
Yeah.
And as an artist, that's really disheartening.
Yeah.
To think that your stuff could just be gone.
I'd love to look at MySpace, my page.
Yeah.
Again, and go, oh.
I think it's still there. All that stuff exists.
And Bebo. Do you remember Bebo?
Yeah, that was a bit after my time. Google Wave. You were on the Google Wave?
Don't know.
Yeah.
No
it was idea. Like Google Plus before Google Plus.
Yeah.
Anybody on Google Plus? Anybody?
I'm on it. Don't really use it that
it's
much.
It's just you and Trey.
Yeah.
I mean that with love, Trey.
No,
it's going to be exciting to see where it goes. Yeah. I think, you know, the people who grew up in, you know, social media natives and digital natives probably see things like photography in a completely different way.
Yeah.
I think they appreciate it and love it in different ways. And I think it's just a part of their life. It's an integrated, you know, photography is sort of their augmented reality in the way they see the world.
Yeah.
Which is great. As a lover of photography, it's the best time ever.
Yeah. No, I think so. Absolutely.
Hmm.
And with that, we'll stop talking.
I think we should. I think we need another coffee.
Yeah, we do. If you've got ideas about topics that you want us to talk about, it can be cheese or trees or cheese or trees.
Cheese
and trees.
Cheese
in trees.
Cheese in trees. I go good Gruyere right now. And sticking on the photography vein, if there's photography that you like or don't like or want to share with us.
Yeah.
Pass it on. We'll pass on some links to the stuff we talked about today and all that.
For sure.
If you want cheese and trees, if you want to be on the show, want us to talk about something, not something else.
Come join us.
Come join. Hold on.
Hang on.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
I've got to move the mic to the music area.
Bye.
Bye.